You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by one of our regulars here at Secure Freedom Radio, longtime syndicated columnist and now blogger par excellence, Diana West. You can find her writings at dianawest.net. Also, please pick up copies of her splendid best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana West, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be with you.
In the previous segment, I had a chance to talk with one of the nation's preeminent journalists about an article that he filed back in December about a major general by the name of Michael Nagata, who is a prominent member of the United States military, in charge, in fact, of our special forces in the Mideast at the moment. And he was confronting a reality, which in the general's words, is that we don't understand the idea behind the Islamic State. You're one of the people who really do understand the idea and have wrestled with the fact that we're not allowed to talk about it. What do you make of that statement, and what does it say about kind of our condition in this war? I call it the war for the free world. If we allow this, well, Andy McCarthy calls it willful blindness, to persist.
Well, it shows the very truth of something that a friend of mine inside the Pentagon told me, oh my gosh, it must be 10 years ago, that nobody gets promoted to flag officer who is not what we call politically correct, who has not digested all of the, let's call them, postmodern narratives, in other words, flimflam, sold to us by academics, who want to disconnect facts from reality. The fact, the idea here, is Islam. We are watching Islam purifying to its most basic element with the Islamic State's actions. Namely, we look at the immolation of the Jordanian pilot this week. Well, our friend Andy Bostom tweeted out recently that he found this right in the Islamic text. Muhammad orders the burning of persons and houses of those who fail to abide the call to prayer in a canonical hadith from Bukhari. This is what we're looking at. We are looking at Islam activated, weaponized, deployed.
Diana West is our guest, and we're talking about this, well, perennial problem now, it seems. Diana, you described it as something we've been sold by the academics. I'm concerned that we're being sold this notion that we can't talk about the Islamic tenets or roots. Again, not all Muslims embrace them, to be sure, but Sharia does. That are being played out in vivid and horrifying technicolor by the Islamic State and Boko Haram and al-Shabaab and any number of others. In part, we're being sold this by the Muslim Brotherhood as well, are we not?
Oh, of course. The Muslim Brotherhood would be a branch of the vectors within Islam that are seeking to create a caliphate. They're by no means unique. To be sure, not all people who are born Muslim follow these precepts, but the precepts are what is radical about Islam. It doesn't, the individuals matter very little. We can go back to our own history, where they say that only one-third of Americans in the colonies wanted to have a revolution and break off from England. We look at the Russian Revolution taken over by the Bolsheviks, which meant minority party, the minority party that in those days weaponized Marx. I mean, the mass of Muslims who don't follow it are irrelevant to the fact that all of the authoritative works, books, treatises, etc., support and indeed encourage and reward with paradise the kinds of actions that we are seeing.
Yeah, this calls to mind a comment that was made at a conference I attended last weekend in St. Louis, in which the people described as good Muslims are actually the Islamic State and these other global jihadists who are, as you say, following very literally the canonical teachings of Sharia. And Diana, you've done such fantastically interesting work on sort of helping us understand the practice that we're engaged in at the moment in a manner that is reminiscent of how we dealt with communism in the past. Talk a little bit about this sort of effort to ensure that we don't allow ourselves to be troubled by the stuff we're being told that is simply contradicted by the facts.
Yes, well, the parallels are striking, and indeed they really don't parallel, they overlap. Both my books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, are attempts to bring this to understandable light and really figure it out. But the basic element does go back to the teachings of Marxism-Leninism, whereby reality is created simply by making it so through language, by making certain words mandatory and certain words forbidden. And we see this going back. I recently wrote a piece at Breitbart, which actually was an excerpt from Chapter 12 of American Betrayal, that goes back to Arthur Koestler's discussion of this practice, which as a young communist in Germany, he was being encouraged to look at an event for a newspaper, in fact, a communist newspaper, and report it in the correct way, in the Marxist dialectical way, which, as he was learning as a young man, meant ignoring the facts. This is indeed exactly the practice that we know very kind of euphemistically as PC. And so when we bring it forward to our own time, we have the same lexicons. We are not allowed to talk about Islam. We have to talk about radical Islam or Islamism. We are not allowed to talk about, you know, various aspects of Sharia for fear of being called Islam.
Yeah, or use the term jihad. This is
Use the term jihad, and this is very similar to what happened in the old days when people were slammed as red baiters. It's a way of shutting down thought and debate, and it is how indeed you come under various forms of submission, whether it's communistic or Islamic.
Yeah. I want to turn to one other piece that you filed at your marvelous website, dianawest.net. And that is something that had the superb title, I thought, Dimitude's Temperature. I think we're done. talk a little bit about how completely baked we are, not half-baked, but completely baked we are with respect to this, especially as it relates to this extraordinary essay contest that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has announced.
Well, it's staggering. It's something out of, I don't know, some kind of satire, Yves Lenoir, or something crazier than that, Dada. I don't know what the right reference is, but it's real. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dempsey, yes, instituted on the death of King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia an essay contest sponsored by the Pentagon at the National Defense University to praise King Abdullah, a Sharia state dictator. The depth of Dimitude is, in terms of obeisance to Islam, which is the essence of Dimitude, it knows no bounds with that action, considering the symbolism of the Joint Chiefs, of the Pentagon, and of King Abdullah. And for those to come together in an official way is so disgraceful and shameful. I mean, it makes me very ashamed for these people.
The trouble seems to me, Diana, to go beyond just being shameful, of course. I'm reminded of General Dempsey's press conference a few years back, where he personally took it upon himself to excoriate a very promising young officer by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Dooley for having the temerity to teach an approved elective course at the Joint Armed Forces College, as I recall, in which somebody who hadn't even taken the course found there were some offensive materials. And this message is being sent, of course, to our uniformed military personnel and all others that submission really is the way. And I think this is hard to overstate the practical consequences of it at a time when we need these people to be absolutely clear-eyed about the nature of the enemy we're facing and join forcefully in confronting them. We have a marvelous short video on this very subject by one of our colleagues, Tommy Waller, who has been a Force Recon Marine, and I commend it to everybody at securefreedom.org. Diana West, we are out of time, I'm afraid. Thank you so much for joining us and for your insights, as always. Keep up your splendid work at dianawest.net, and we'll talk with you again next week. Next up, we will be speaking with Roger Kimball. We'll get his take on this fact that free speech is under threat. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.